Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, be with us and our guest, Pastor Alfred Romero, as we speak and glorify you, Lord God, through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Today we have with us Pastor Alfredo Romero of the Rock of Life Fellowship Church here in Chico. It's a wonderful, wonderful church, wonderful people, and by all means, hello, Pastor Alfredo.
Good morning, Tyler. Or good afternoon now, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we are always thinking about what's going on in the community of Christ.
Yes.
What do you see from your perspective as you look at the community and your fellowship church?
If we've, we have to acknowledge what's been going on even in our community here the last year and a half, and there's so much turmoil and trials and tribulations people are going through. And, you know, even our church family, it just seems to be a climate right now of real choices that are put before us. And what I'm trying to say is, even myself, my wife and I were talking last night about what's happening in our life and what's going on and how we can prepare ourselves for the culture, the climate, the things that are going on in our community, in our church, in our personal lives. And there seems to be a lot of testing and trials and tribulation periods. And I don't think my wife and I have even dealt with as many challenges lately. I mean, we lost our home in the fire.
Yes.
And as did my sister and my niece and my daughter and her husband. And just real briefly. And then my father passed away last year. And then my wife has, unfortunately, a pretty bad neurological disease that stops her from having any mobility and, you know, feeling in her hands and extremities. So we were having this big conversation, kind of like what we were talking about a little bit earlier. What's going on? What? You know, what's happening? You know, it just seems that everybody around is just going through something. And we have people in our church that are going through these trials and tribulations. And we had to, like, sit back and regroup and think, okay, what is God saying? You know, what's going on? How do we as believers get to a point where we can handle all of this? Because it's not just me. It's almost everybody I speak with.
Yeah.
It's been difficult.
Well, we need God. We need God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. That's how we get through.
Yeah.
We lean on God. This is the thing that so often I see people with trauma, people with extreme difficulty, they come to the end of what they can do. And they say, God, help me.
Yeah.
And God does.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what I've seen as a pastor is in the last year and a half or so, there's quite a few people I've spoken to that they start to doubt God. We're talking believers. Believers that came up to me and said, you know, they lost their home or something in the fire. I've actually had people tell me, you know, if this is what believing in the Lord has brought to me, if this is what I get for faithfully believing, I'm out. You know, I'm done. You know, I've heard people say, you know, there's a lot of people angry at God. And the whole topic of what I'm trying to say, the subject of what I'm trying to say is, we live in a world that is not ours. This isn't our home. As believers, we have to understand that we're here to serve God, to love Him and love others and do the best we can. Because we only have two choices in life, John. We only have two choices in life. See, life is going to happen. No matter what, life is going to happen. You know, the high points, the low points, the successes, the victories, the challenges, the disappointments, the mourning. Life is going to happen. And the only two choices we have are we can go through this life with God or we can go through life without Him. And now I totally believe that at this point in our culture, in our life, in our world, in our nation, we are actually seeing what Jesus meant when He said, you are for me or you're against me.
Mm.
We're starting to see those that will rely on Him or those that will pull away from Him. And then our duty as believers is to tell people that are pulling away, go, no, 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 you don't understand. It's true. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to get through this life and if you want to be able to have victories instead of the disappointments and even during the tough times, you want to be able to get through with strength and hope and faith and trust. The only way to do that is a belief in Jesus Christ. But the problem is we're living in a culture where more and more people no longer believe in Jesus as real. They are accepting, like we said before, they're accepting counterfeit saviors, whether it's the earth, the creation, a group, a belief, a structure, but they're missing the real, the truth, and that's a relationship with Christ. And I just, and even the younger people, our church is a family church, right? People of all ages. And I believe we have messages that God gives us that'll reach as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Those that have ears that want to listen. But some people just don't want to listen. There's more and more. So that, as a pastor, that concerns me. But just as a believer, whether what my title is or not, I'm truly concerned for those people that can't see how much Christ loves them because they look at life and they're worried about the earth ending, or they're worried about a struggle or a health issue,
yes,
or a tragedy like losing a home. I think what's really going on is our world is searching for a hope, for a savior, and they're looking in the wrong places.
Yeah.
So that's,
not in this world. In this world, it's already we already know the conclusion.
Absolutely. I agree.
And so we have the hope of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then that's our eternal relationship, our eternal destiny.
Yeah. We have a Rock of Life has been around for, mm-hmm, this September will be 6 years. We started at our home in Paradise, the home. We were there for 24 years.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, that home did burn in the campfire.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. You know, we called it the Romero Homestead.
Mm-hmm.
It was on, you know, just about 3 acres. There was a creek in the back, a meadow in the front. You know, we had built a basketball court. When we bought the house, it was 1,350 square foot. When we lost the home, it was about 3,000 square foot.
Mm,
and the
wow.
reason why we added over time, for two reasons. One of them was we had a growing family, not just my wife and children, but our church family grew. And we were using our home for ministry events and Bible studies and celebrations and parties and barbecues and all types of fellowship. And the second reason we were adding to our home over time is because, you know, my wife has been struggling for 15 years with a neurological disease, similar to MS. It's chronic, unfortunately, but it robs her of the sensation of her nerves. And she doesn't have any sense of touch and is not able to walk anymore. And, you know, her muscles are deteriorating. So we added on for her to be able to have accessibility.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we redid the bathrooms, redid a kitchen for her, put ramps in, bars, you know, a bigger bedroom so she could manipulate the closet, et cetera. So those are two reasons for this house. And the reason why I mention that is because our church started there. You know, Rock of Life was given to us by God, and we started in the house, got to about maybe 30 people, and we went down to Chico, found little Chico Creek Elementary School. And then just 9 months ago, we moved to the new building, which is right behind Italian Cottage off of Skyway. It used to be Safer Arms, across street from the Discount Tire place. But and the reason why I say that is because we have seen what the Lord can do during these tough times.
Tough times, yeah.
We have a foundational statement that we tell people, and the simple form is that. To tell people that Jesus is real, he's relevant, and he just wants a relationship with them. At the very strip it down, that's what we would say.
Yeah.
Now, the extended version, and we tell this to people of all ages, the extended version would be, listen, Jesus is real. His Bible is true. And he is relevant to your life. You have a purpose. Jesus has always been relevant, is now, and always will be because of the purpose he has for you. And the biggest desire that God has for you in Christ is that no one would perish, that we would all come to repentance and have an active daily relationship that lasts for eternity. So that's that extended version. And a lot of people just don't understand that. I think they're dismayed by government politics. I think they're dismayed by divisiveness. I think they're also, And I'm really talking about people from, you know, teens to maybe 20s and 30s, whether it's what they call now the I generation or the millennials. Less and less people see Christ as being relevant in their lives. They see no purpose for him anymore. Oh. And, you know, I look at tons of statistics, whether it's Barna Research or Pew Research, you know, the polls that they thousands of people to find out about what they think about religion. And overwhelmingly, people think they have no purpose for God. Millennials now, you know, people in their teens, 20s, 30s, what they call, like I said, the I generation, or the X generation now too, the Y generation, excuse me. They actually are staying away from Bible studies, God, prayer, churches, anything religious. Their religion now is what they believe. It's whatever they believe is truth is truth. Unfortunately, there's only one truth, just one, and that's the truth of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people just, they're being deceived, truthfully. And, you know, it's our purpose to gently, like the Bible describes, gently tell them about our faith when we're asked in a gentle manner. And frankly, I would, I know I'm going a bit long here, but I would tell you that one of the biggest problems of why I think younger people are not interested to find out who God is because of the divisiveness. The rhetoric is too aggressive. It's, you know, even as believers, are we gently explaining to people the truth of God? Are we taking the time to have deep conversations, even sometimes in disagreement and not understanding one another? Are we being patient when we talk to somebody that says, I don't believe in God? What purpose does Jesus have in my life? You know, look at the world. You know, look what's happening. If there's a God, why is all the pain and the suffering, the fires and the earthquakes and the tribulations and the hunger and the divisiveness and the politics? And if this is God's world, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. And then to gently explain to them, well, this isn't God's world. This world is what man has made it to be, what humans have made it to be. We've turned away from God. This world has not ever been what God intended it to be. And it's because of our own selfishness and our own desire for self-fulfillment and selfishness and satisfying ourselves and breaking all the rules and hurting each other, not loving each other. So I don't blame people for being, you know, dissuaded or not interested, because I don't know sometimes if us as Christians and believers has done a very good job of evangelism.
Right.
I'm sure some have, but as a whole, mm-hmm. I don't know. I would challenge us. So.
Me too. And I think about the people who talk about their children and their grandchildren who don't know Jesus, who have been told, and then they leave.
Yeah.
It's a similar pattern there, or kind of thinking that goes along with it. The world is very distracting, and it takes our attention away from God, and that is so unfortunate for young people.
It does, and you know, I tell you, and I will, in a sense, you know, gently challenge the believers in the churches.
Good.
To understand how to present the gospel, to be true to the gospel, to not water down the gospel, to talk to them about, you know, acceptance and belief and confession and the repentance that it takes and the understanding that we're hurting God in being in disobedience, that we grieve His Holy Spirit, that as unbelievers, that they need to understand the need for a Savior. A lot of people don't think they need anyone. Hey, I'm just looking out for myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't understand the need for a Savior. So it's up to us to explain to them that here's why we need a Savior. It's because we could never reconcile back to God after our rebellion. We couldn't do it on our own. No sacrifice would bring us closer to God. No being in obedience for rituals or the things that we would do to try to appease Him. No altar we could build would be good enough to reconcile us back to God after we've turned our backs on Him. We needed a sacrifice. We needed a Savior. someone to reconcile us back to our relationship with God, because we couldn't do it on our own. And understanding the need for Jesus to come down to earth, you know, God in human form, to be a sacrifice for our sins, to be a redemption for us that we couldn't do on our own. Yeah. And do we understand that we need to explain to people they need Jesus? People are hurting. People are in pain. People are in confusion. Yeah. A lot of the younger people see no hope.
I've heard that. Yeah.
I feel sorry for this girl, Greta Thunberg. She's she's fighting for climate change, and she's you can see the lack of hope in her eyes when she talks. You know, she said a kind of a infamous quote now, or a famous quote now of, you know, you've stolen my childhood. You've stolen my future.
Yes, that's right.
She sees no hope. Well, the truth is she's looking for hope in the wrong place. This world is temporary. And no matter what our individual beliefs are for war or politics or climate or whatever our belief structure is, the only hope we're ever going to find to escape from this world, that hope is in Christ, a relationship with him that overtakes the pain and the sorrow that we go through and the heartache and the disappointments. The only hope we have to escape from that is our relationship with Christ, our belief in him as Savior, a confession of our sins to say, I can't do this on my own, and I've hurt you, God. I've been in sin. I've been in disobedience. I've hurt you, and I don't want to go through this life one more day without you. Mm-hmm. You know, and so people are looking for hope in the wrong place, John. I just challenge the Christians to explain that to him in a gentle manner.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of just it's ignorance that it starts with. It starts with ignorance when we don't know God, and then it develops, and we do know God, and then so often people will leave because God is not delivering what I want.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
This is just a confusion on who God is and his wonderful gifts to us.
And you made a really good point. You know, why isn't God giving me what I want? Yeah. You know, my flesh my wife is amazing, and it's been a challenge to see her, you know, and over the years lose her ability to function.
Yeah.
It's been heartbreaking. And you know, my wife and I just had a very open conversation last night about our disappointments. Then still being relatively young and being youthful at our age in the last 15 years, to have to go through things like this where she needs help with, you know, navigating. She can no longer cook or dress herself, and she needs help. And we were talking about our disappointments, and quite openly. And nobody intends for their life to be like that.
No.
But the only thing that her and I could come back to or fall back on was the only way we're going to get through this is our trust and faith in God. Mm-hmm. And a belief that even though we don't see it and we haven't got what we would want, which is a complete healing and a restoration of everything, even though we don't have that yet and we haven't seen it, we have a Lord, we have a Savior that loves us so much that somehow we have the strength to wake up every day and attack it and go forward and not let the enemy defeat us or bring us into despair. And we have our moments, and we have our moments where we cry out to God and we just say, God, we need help because we're weak right now. We're weary. Yeah. But like I said earlier, what's the alternative? Curse a God that maybe I don't believe in or believe in and turn my back on him or renounce my faith or frankly, couples that have a spouse that develops a chronic disease, they're between 75 and 80% chance of them breaking up their marriage, one of them walking away, and it's usually the healthy one because they can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. What's the only power that can hold that together? That's the power of God and his love and grace and mercy that somehow tells me and my wife, hang on there. I got a purpose for you. I know you don't get it now, and I know you're in pain, but hang on. It's going to be okay. You know, trust me. And we have wonderful daughters, wonderful family. I just, you know, last year, here and eight months ago, we had our daughter give birth, and we have our first grandson. And even though my dad passed away, unfortunately, he had a heart attack in front of me in our home because he lived with me. My dad was 78, and he gave us an incredible lifetime of love, an example of what a godly man is. And, you know, I miss him every day, but I'm so blessed to know it was not goodbye. It's, I'll see you later, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a personal message for people out there that are listening that maybe don't have a relationship with Christ, or maybe their faith has been shaken by some type of dramatic event in the last couple of years or so, maybe a lifetime of heartache and pain, or something happened when they were younger. If I had a message for them, I would say, you know, my faith has not been shaken, but my emotional state has been shaken. My sometimes my strength has been tested, because, and my belief structure has been tested, because in the last 2 years, my best friend, you know, my pastor that we started this church with, he had about a year problem with his heart, and he passed away in May of 2018. My wife has had this disease for 15 years. My dad passed away a month after my friend, the pastor, and my associate pastor. He died in June 4th. And we miss him. And then 5 months later, we lost our home that we lived in. And then in January, when we were in a hotel, my wife had a horrible fall off the scooter and shattered her leg and was in the hospital for a month because they had to put pins in her, a leg and a rod. And I found myself one night walking out of a hotel about 11 o'clock at night to walk across the street to Walmart to just to look around and get a snack. I needed some pants, you know. I found myself walking back to the hotel at 11:30 at night. And I went, you know, just a few months ago, I was playing music with my dad in my home that I've had for 25 years. And my wife was somewhat healthier at the time. And I'm walking, my wife's in the hospital, I'm walking back, and I lost all of our cars in the fire as well. So I'm walking, and I'm going, how did this happen? I took a quick inventory of my life, and I said, I lost my dad, I lost my best friend, I've lost my home, my children have lost their homes, my sister lost her home, my wife had a fall caused by a disease she's had for 14, 15 years. She's in the hospital, and I'm walking from a Walmart with a bag of groceries and a couple of pairs of pants to a hotel room. And in the midst of all that, I said, God is good. You know, I love God. Because it was the only thing that was holding me together was faith. Knowing that God loves me and he's got a plan and a purpose. And no matter what we go through, there is healing, there's restoration, there's strength, and there is always hope. Always hope. And somehow that makes me get up in the morning. Makes me and my wife get past our issues or our arguments or our frustrations or times where we just kind of look at each other, hold hands, and cry because it's been difficult. It's been a difficult journey. Now, here's the good news, as always. In this last 2 years, it was difficult, but we built the church. We have this new church building, and we're growing a church family. I've got the best friends I've ever had in my life. My, you know, just a month after my dad passed away, my daughter Allison was married. And it was an emotional wedding, but I rejoiced. My daughter met a good, godly man, and now she's pregnant and expecting a little boy. And my younger daughter, who's been married about 3 years, is now having her second child, and she's having a little girl. And I just think, I'm not destitute. I'm not out in the street. My wife and I just 2 months ago moved into another house here in Chico. And material things can be replaced. Mm-hmm. You know, I thank God for my home, but material things aren't important to me. But the love that people have shown us, the support that we've received, you know, good people that have helped us out, showed us care and love and compassion. It's, we can't focus on these types of things that are temporary, even health. It's temporary. There's going to be a time in heaven where we'll have new bodies and we'll be rejoicing and there's no more tears. And that's a lot of hope. But you mm-hmm. know what I'm really trying to say is I choose to go through life with God. It's a lot easier. It's not easy because there's mountains you climb. There's trials, there's tribulations. But there's a joy that comes having a relationship with Christ that nothing can take from us. Nothing.
I've heard testimonies where people have gone through trials that we can hardly imagine. And they say Jesus was with them through the trials.
Yeah.
And it made the time something they would never want to give up.
Yeah.
That's what, when we go through trials, God is with us. And it refines us, it defines us, and it furthers our relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, yes, we are thankful for the trials, even though they're not fun for the time.
No. No, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, and here's the other thing that we've been, I gave a message in church last week about being broken. Because part of the problem, if I was going to, you know, connect back to what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
A lot of people that may not have a relationship with God or searching, you know, thankfully they would be searching for who God is and, you know, what is Jesus all about and what does Christianity mean? And, you know, they may have questions, right? Well, they walk into churches sometimes and I put myself in that category quite a few years ago. I walk in, sometimes I feel a bit intimidated, like, wow, I've got so many problems. I don't think I'm good enough to walk into church. And, you know, they see people singing and joyful and I think it's very important, and my point is, especially for the new believers or for the, you know, some people call seekers, people that are looking for answers that happen to visit a church, I think it's really important for leadership to say, hey, you know, just so everyone knows, I'm broken. I'm struggling. The reason why I'm in church isn't because I've got everything all together and I'm rejoicing. I come to church because I need God. I need his word. I need to fellowship in his house. I need to praise him. I need to heal. I struggle. You know, I'm a man. I struggle with the things that other men struggle with. I struggle with, you know, sometimes selfishness and pride and lust and I anger. And I the only way I'm going to overcome that is with a relationship with God and searching for him who's my strength because I can't do it on my own. So for me as a pastor to stand in front of people and say, you know, I had a rough week. You know, I broke my hand. My wife almost fell. You know, it's just, you know, I'm in this new house and I don't, part of the reason why I broke my hand is because I don't know the house yet.
Yeah.
I've been in it for about 6-7 weeks. And, you know, if anybody that's moving into a new house, you kind of turn the corner and you bump into the wall because you know how far it extends or, you know, you're searching for the light switch or you get up in the middle of the night. And like the other night I woke up, I walked right into the dresser because, you know, for 25 years, I got used to manipulating my own home. You know, sometimes I wake up, I don't know where I'm at, you know, and I'll walk into the restroom door, boom, you know, hello. And, but, you know, I struggle. And it's important for people to know that when you're in God's house, we're all broken. We all have some degree of need of a repair. We're all in need of a restoration. It's something in our life. Maybe some other people may have different degrees or of where they are in their relationship with God. Some may have known the Lord for a day, some for 10 years or more, you know, for half a decade, you know, 50 years, whatever that is. We are all in need of repair in some way or another. And the only way that we can make changes in our life and to get over things is to reach for God, draw near to him, read his word, find out who he is. Also, to know that it takes time, it's a process to develop relationships. You know, it is. And get to know who God is You know, don't take what other people say who Jesus is. That's why we say Jesus is real, because read his word and you'll find out. Don't take it from, you know, books and movies and even sometimes, you know, people. Find out for yourself. Open up the word for yourself. God will speak to you through his word. So, yeah.
That's what pastors do, though. They encourage us.
Yes.
And every pastor is a human being and has the struggles and the issues. But pastors also have studied God's word.
Yeah.
And this is how we relate much better to God through pastors.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
It's a big help. So,
I agree. And the word says faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
And hearing by the word of God. So, and that's my point. We will find out who God is and what he's telling us by either reading his word, hearing his word. You know, for people that have eyesight problems or issues, there's the Bible apps that will read you the Bible. There's of course, there's social media, there's YouTube, there's all kinds of mediums that can read the word to you. Sometimes at night, it's kind of cool because I'm getting ready to go to bed and my wife will hit the Bible app and she'll just hit the microphone button or the speaker button and it's reading to her. And, yeah. You know, there's ways you can walk into a church and hear a good message, a sermon, or maybe you have a good friend that tells you the gospel or cares enough about you that, you know, you sit down and you have conversations about God's word. I have a men's Bible study every Tuesday night at the church. And I get about 6, 7, 8 guys that go in there, and we take our time with God's word. We're going through the book of Acts right now, how the church first developed and Saul's conversion to Paul and, you know, this enthusiastic man of God. Matter of fact, we just read the part where, you know, him and Silas are going through the town, and they're proclaiming Jesus, and they're telling people who God is and what they need to do to develop this great relationship. And they get arrested for it. They take them in front of the council, and they're afraid to punish them because they're afraid of what the people are going to say. So they say, one gentleman says, all right, we're going to let you guys go. It's, you know, Paul, we're going to let you go here because we're kind of afraid what would happen if we imprison you at this point right now. But I'll tell you what, before you go, let us beat you up a little bit. To kind of save face.
That's a good way to say it.
You know, let us slap you around a little bit, you know, yeah. Give you a few whips. And that way when you leave, you know, people will say, oh yeah, well, they punished them, but at least they let them go. And what do they do when they walk out? They rejoice. They sing. They're like, you know, they're walking out, counting it all joy. Like James had said, you know, they just got beaten, but they said, it's amazing for me to preach the word. It's an honor for me to be persecuted for Christ's sake.
Yes.
You know, that is highly motivational.
And there's different forms of persecution. And we think of, for instance, what happened to Paul. But persecution comes all through our lives in ways that we're surprised at because we don't think we deserve something.
Yeah.
And then we get it anyway.
Yeah.
And that's a... What time is your Bible study?
It's 6:30 to 7:30 on Tuesday nights.
Oh, great.
It's a really good men's Bible study. We take our time. We let the word breathe. And here's the main point about Bible studies.
Yeah.
It's really important to have an authentic move of the Spirit doing your Bible studies where the word's speaking to you. Too many times, Bible studies become, you know, what's your impression of what he's saying to you? Or what do you think? How do you think God? Or how's God saying this to you? Frankly, what Christ said 2,000 years ago to the people is the same thing he's saying to us today. There's no kind of reinterpreting what it means. I think what he's saying here, no. Let's find out what Christ said to these people then, because it's the exact same thing he's telling us now. And so it's important to apply the word properly. And that's what we try to do as men. I mean, we have a group called Kingdom Men. And we also meet on Saturday mornings over at Panera. Saturday mornings at 8:30 for about an hour, we do a devotional, you know, have a little bit of, you know, coffee or tea, and we do just conversation. Mm-hmm. And how was your week? You know, what are you struggling with? You know, how can we pray for you? And we do a devotional to help us understand how God is calling men to be in this world. What is a godly man? What is a kingdom man? Because we know what the world is telling us men should be or shouldn't be. I mean, it doesn't line up with the word of God.
Oh, that's true.
It does not. You know, a definition of what a man should be nowadays, according to the world, is not what God has designed a man to be. So we're we're looking into that, where all of our devotions challenge men to be godly men, to seek after the way we were created and designed to be, you know, strong, bold, courageous, yet humble, gentle, loving, kind, forgiving.
Yeah. Wonderful. I am so glad to hear that, because so often in society, men are not looked up. They're looked down upon.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize that there's patterns in the Bible that will be healthy for us as a society,
sure,
as a family.
Yeah.
And a part of that is men and women both having a role, strong roles, and then we look after our example in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And love each other. Love each other in a family and even as a society. That's the one thing I like about your church, is that the people there care. I even like how you tell people, now greet your neighbors.
Right.
It's not a 10-second greet. It's not a 1-minute greet. It's several minutes.
It's about 5 minutes, yeah.
You actually get the chance to talk to somebody.
Right.
And talk to somebody else. And there is a personal connection, which I like.
Yeah, me too. And I will tell you one thing. I would really want to highly state and clarify with churches in the community, because sometimes people will tell me that when I minister to people, or I talk to people about, why is there so many churches, you know, and there's so many different denominations, and, you know, that comes up quite a bit, you know, especially people that are seeking, what church do I go to? I'm trying to develop my relationship with Christ. You know, what church do I go to? Where there's denominations, there's Baptists, and there's, you know, there's Pentecostals, and there's, you know, Christian Missionary Alliance, and then there's Nazarene, and, you know, Catholic, and there's, you know, there's different types of churches.
I'm so interested in what you're going to say.
Well, here's what I would say. I believe that for true Bible churches, doctrinally sound relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, honoring God the Father and living a life led by the Holy Spirit, God in his infinite supremacy as the creator, If they're a doctrinally sound church, I believe that everybody has certain desires, likes, characteristics, atmospheres that they feel more comfortable in. I can tell you that people have walked into Rock of Life because it is very family-oriented, all ages. Mm-hmm. It's very friendly. It's very authentic in the sense of we know who we are. We're a bunch of broken people searching for answers, and we're claiming victory over circumstances. We're trying to get through life, you know, the best we can, searching for an active daily relationship with Christ. Now, we have very contemporary music, and it's very energetic. We have moments of reverence, moments of quietness before the Lord. Then there's also moments where, you know, we're singing with joy. Now, some people would walk in a Rock of Life, and they say, oh, I'm home. I've been looking for this place. Now, some people have walked into Rock of Life and said, you know, I really like the people. It's a great place, but it's not really my style. It's not really what I'm used to. You know, whatever they're searching for, it may not be. So my prayer would be is they would find a true church here in Chico that God is calling them to, where they can grow their relationship with Jesus. It may not be Rock of Life. So, but the bottom line is, we should all be one church, one family in Christ. We just meet in different buildings.
That's right.
You know, there's just a different style and approach. Matter of fact, our website, if you go to our website, which is rockoflifechico.org, you know, it says, are you looking for a home? We know churches have different styles, cultures, and atmospheres. Visit us. See if this is the home that you're called to. See if this is what you're looking for. You know, and if it's not, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I just want these people to find their relationship with God and fellowship, find a place where they believe that they're like home. They can grow here. They can learn. They can develop their relationship with God. They can bring in their family or their girlfriends, boyfriends, or you know, spouses, friends, relatives, whoever, coworkers. They feel comfortable because they're developing that relationship with God in a way that God speaks to them. And it is different styles. So that's all I would say about that.
The people are very nice at your church. And I think this is always something that is an attraction to anybody, to have people that are nice, people that are caring.
Yeah.
And
And you had mentioned something earlier about the church being persecuted. You know, once in a while, once in a great while, somebody will walk in and they'll say, you know, your music is, it's too contemporary, or it's not, you know, we need a certain other types of music instead. Or once in a great while, somebody will say, you know, the way you really need to preach is, and they'll give me their ideas.
Funny.
So I don't think that's persecution, but that's, you know, people have opinions, they have ideas and thoughts.
That's right.
So I would just pray that anybody searching to have a relationship with Christ finds a doctrinally sound church and someplace that hopefully God's leading them to grow their relationship with Jesus.
Well, I'm just laughing because I think it would be funny to say, to come into a church and say to the pastor, you really need to preach on this.
It happens.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
see, I grew up Catholic.
Yes.
I grew up, I made my first Holy Communion with the confession, catechism, Sunday school, you name it. You know, I grew up Catholic, and a lot of my family is still Catholic, and they love the Lord, and they love Christ,
yes.
They love Jesus. But the style and the approach is different, and I understand some people may have different opinions of different churches and their belief structure. But you got to be doctrinally sound. It's got to be the Bible,
yes,
the absolute word of God. You know, look at what 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible is there to preach truth and righteousness and to be for correction and for teaching. And it's important that we understand the importance of God's word in our life.
That's the most important.
That's it. I mean, I like the, what is an anagram? You know, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. I've always liked that.
I do too.
That's how we get through this world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, back to the Rock of Life, real quick.
Yeah.
We're just a group of people that is going through life, choosing to follow God to help us get through our trials, tribulations, and to celebrate all the joy and the victory that He gives us on a daily basis. God says something really important in the Bible. He tells us what to meditate on, what to think about, the good things, the true things, the noble things, the things out of a good report. So to kind of even back up a little bit, we've had a rough couple of years, but I focus on the provision God's given me, the friends He's given me, the ministry He's given my wife and I, our children I have two wonderful daughters, two wonderful son-in-laws. Now I have getting grandkids, and my dad passed away, but I celebrate his life, and my mom is still with us. And thank God she's still relatively healthy. And my sister, I have sisters, and I celebrate that. You know, I celebrate the goodness of God. It's too easy for us to focus on the tough parts of life.
No, that's true. But I also know the tough parts of life help us to define ourselves.
Sure.
And refine ourselves.
Sure.
To seek God in another way, and to relate to people also. That's a part of loving, as we are able to relate to people in difficult times.
Yeah. There's a wonderful Bible verse that talks about being refined by fire. Oh. How does something become purified? How does something become the best it can be? Like, for instance, gold. How does gold become its most pure form? How does gold become the best it can be? It's refined by fire. It's burnt.
Yes.
It's refined by a trial of fire. And it's a good analogy for what we go through. I truly believe that had life been super easy for me, you know, no issues, perfect health, you know, everything I wanted came to me easily, I would definitely not be a pastor. You know, I don't even know about my marriage, and I don't know where I'd be right now. But you don't want life to be a merry-go-round that just goes round and round and round and round, and never a roller coaster type of effect. We are absolutely developed and refined by our challenges and our victories, and we're overcomers. God calls us overcomers.
That's right. Yeah.
We're overcomers. And the way that we reach the mountaintop, the way that we finish the race, the way that we become the best we can be is through trials and adversity and overcoming. You know, every year around the Super Bowl Sunday, I give a sports-themed message. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to work on one about overcoming the adversities and the comebacks and things that happen in our life. That even the Bible uses sports analogies. You know, you run the race, you run for you run for the real victory, not for the meaningless trophies. And you know, you run that race to complete it. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to finish this race, trying to complete it. It's not a sprint. You heard all the analogies. It's definitely a marathon. You know, we're in it for the long haul. And you can't quit halfway through.
No, you can't.
No.
No. There's a wonderful, wonderful parts in life that we get to enjoy and experience. And I often wish that we didn't have to experience the hard times.
Yeah.
But we do. And it helps us to appreciate the good things, too.
Yeah. The hardest thing, I think, besides my wife's health, is, you know, within 1 month, losing Pastor Rick and then my dad. You know, Rick Stout was a administrative teacher over in Chico State. He taught teachers to be in the administration classes, and he was the principal of Paradise High School for a few years, and also Woodland High School and Chico Christian School as well during the years Champion Christian School was open. Mm. And that's how I met him, through Champion Christian School. I was on the board, and we hired him. You know, losing him, it was difficult. It was very difficult. And then a month later, my dad, who's fairly good health, mm-hmm. and just has a heart attack. Getting through my dad passing, I'm still mourning. I'm still going through it.
We miss people.
I miss him.
But we will see them again.
Yeah.
In paradise, in heaven, I mean.
And that's the only point. I mean,
yeah.
The hope that we have, that I'm going to see my dad again.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great reunion, and he's not going to be in any pain, but I'm just trying to tell people that no matter what you go through, the pain and the heartache and the loss of people, that our only hope for a victory, our only hope to make things, to see things in the end work out for good, to work out mm-hmm. according to God's plan, is to have that relationship with Jesus. It's the only hope that we have. It's the only thing that makes sense out of things. Otherwise, everything's in vain. I mean, if my wife is sick, which, you know, she is, you know, pretty sick, struggles. I mean, the only thing that makes sense out of it is seeing her still be a women's pastor, and to see her minister to people, and to see how much she loves me and our children, and seeing her fight and do her best. The only thing that makes sense is because her faith in God. The only thing that makes sense out of losing my dad and having him pretty much die in my arms is knowing that he served the Lord in his life in the last, you know, 40, 50 years of his life. He was 78, and just how much he loved God and how much he imparted that. My dad told me he loved me every day. The last words my dad told me is that he loved me. He was proud of me. That was his last words, you know, before he went down. We were talking about, I had served at the Franklin Graham event. We were looking at pictures. He goes, Al, I'm so proud of you. This is great. I love you. And then he had a heart attack and passed away. Yeah. It's like, the only thing that makes sense for me is eternity in Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the only thing that makes sense. It's, you know, to be able to tell my children, do your best, kids. Raise your kids up the best you can. And no matter what you go through, we are going to always be together for eternity in heaven. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens on this earth, we are going to make it. It's going to be okay. And to show people that mm-hmm. that don't have the relationship with Christ, show them that hope. Yeah. We get too wrapped up on the problems of this earth, too wrapped up on the despair that the enemy offers us, and the confusion and the division and the politics and the different generation, you know, miscommunications and distrust. The only hope, the only thing that would bring us all together, the only answer we have is a relationship with Jesus. That's it. He's the only one that's going to offer us hope and a belief in him gives us the answers. We might not understand everything, but he's the only answer we have.
The only answer. And if we can tell people that before they actually go through the hard times so that they are thinking about understanding it in those terms, this is what I see also as a hope for the young generation.
Sure.
And so it's something to communicate. Along with our love.
That's it. Along with our love and how we love them, God calls us to love him and love others.
Yes.
It's the greatest commandment. Love me, you know, with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love others as well. I want people to know that, because being a Christian, having faith in Christ, does not mean I'm avoiding everything. My wife became ill way after we became believers in Christ. Some of the trials we've gone through, the fire, losing our home, we're believers. You would think, you know, I've heard some people say, well, I'm a believer. Why didn't God make that avoid my house? Or, you know, I've heard that. You know, why did this have to happen? I'm a believer. Well, you know what? Yes. And because I have my faith in Christ, I'm going to be okay.
Right.
I'm going to make it through this. You know, losing everything you own is a wake-up call to, I don't own it anyway.
This is
temporary.
Yes.
I wasn't taking that stuff with me anyway.
Yeah.
Would I want my high school yearbooks and would I want my kids' videos and pictures? Sure. Absolutely. But that stuff all ends up dust anyway. You know, the only thing that lasts for eternity, it's my soul.
Yes.
I need to work on that. I need to cherish that, guard that. I need to put that in a safe place. And the only safe place for our souls is in the arms of Jesus.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm very glad to have you talk on the radio today. You have a wonderful, wonderful message. And by the way, your wife is a wonderful person.
She's amazing.
And we have just a minute left now, and I wonder if you would like to close in prayer for the hope, for however you would like to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. Father God, first thing I want to do is I want to thank you. It's such an honor. It's an opportunity to talk about you, to lift you up, to let others know and encourage them. Lord, our desire is to exalt you, to lift you up, to tell you that we love you, that we trust you, we believe in you, that our hope is in you. And in doing that, so, Lord, that we would edify believers, we'd encourage them. Hopefully we'd show them the inspiration of your word, even through testimony, that we'd edify believers, we'd grow our faith. And finally, God, I pray that we would evangelize the people that don't have that relationship with you, that we would share the faith and the hope that we have, because it's through you, it's through faith alone, Christ alone, it's through your grace alone that you offer us eternity and life with you forever, God. You are the only answer to our troubles. You're the only answer this world needs. Even though they don't see it, God, it's our duty to just lift you up and to give you glory and praise. And I hope your word just permeates through the hearts that need to hear that good news. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.